This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Welcome to Vega's World. It's time to party. I'm your most excellent host, JC Vega. And today's a special holiday edition of Vega's World because I am joined by my nephew, my other nephew. Introduce yourself.
Hi, my name's Carson.
Hey, Carson. And today we're going to be talking about X-Men 97 and Dispatch, the video game that's associated with Critical Role, the group of voice actors and YouTube channel. Let's get started with X-Men 97. What are some of your thoughts on it as you've seen? Because you haven't finished it yet.
I haven't, no. I like the animation of it because sometimes, like, you know it's modern. It's like it's a modern television show, but sometimes it feels like it has like that old feeling to it.
Oh, because it's more 2D animation feel to it, like the old school style, yeah?
Yeah, it has like an old school feel to it.
I like that. I like that too. It lends itself. It gives it a little bit of that old school, the original X-Men show energy. I like that about it. Anything particular that stands out to you that storyline wise or anything?
Not that much, but I did like the end of episode 5 when the Sentinels attacked.
Yeah,
Genosha. That was fun.
That was fun. Not for them, right?
Yeah,
yeah. That was a good storyline. I'm on the fence about Rogue and the Magneto storyline.
Yeah.
In a sense, I don't know. I just felt like it did. Go ahead.
I'll let you go. You can go.
I don't know. I just felt like they did Gambit dirty, you know?
Yeah. I feel bad for him.
Right.
But I don't like Jean.
You don't
the
like Jean?
The Jean thing was weird.
With her having a clone.
And then the clone being evil. And then...
Yeah,
and then she kisses Wolverine. That was weird to me.
Yeah, that was a little.
Because she knows she's married to Cyclops.
Right.
But
yeah, that's.
I get she's a clone, and some of her memories aren't technically hers, and they're the clone's memories.
Well, right.
No, she's not the clone, but you know.
Yeah, the original. Yeah, that's where it gets confusing, right? Because it's like, wait, which one's which again?
And I know I'm only like halfway through, but it feels like I've watched a whole show because like there's so many things going on.
Yeah. No, I mean they got some more twists to come because you're about to watch episode 6, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the life death part 2.
Mm-hmm.
You don't don't spoil that for yourself, but for so far, yeah, I enjoyed that. Like I said, the love triangle there, and then I mean Logan, Jean, and the Scott Summers love triangle has always been in everything from the comics all the way.
Yeah, it's just weird
for that. Yeah, I mean I could do without that in a sense. It's like Logan's a lovesick puppy. It's like, bro, let it go. She's married. How long have you been living? Surely you could find someone else, right?
Yeah.
But the one episode though that felt really weird is just because I get why they did it in a sense, but they broke the flow a little bit. Life Death Part 1. The episode's titled Motendo. More Nintendo, like the Jubilee.
Yeah, the Jubilee and Roberto episode.
Yeah, when they're in like the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just like, man, this is kind of a break from what we were doing, right?
Yeah, it was weird, but it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fun... watching it the first time around, I was like, all right, dude, I was into the storyline you presented at first, and now we kind of went off the reservation with this story. But, like, watching it again, I like the episode a lot more.
Yeah.
Is there any favorite characters you got?
I like Gambit.
You like Gambit?
I like Gambit in general, but
Gambit is pretty cool. The Cajun character. It's also cool how they brought back all the original voice actors from the original show.
Yeah, I looked that up. The person who voiced Rogue voiced her, I think.
No, the whole cast. The whole cast is pretty much. Yeah, everyone from Wolverine, everybody from the original show. Yeah, because this is a sequel series, and you never you watched any of the original?
Two episodes.
Yeah. See.
One where she gets attacked at the mall. Yeah. Julie gets attacked by the mall, and then I forgot what happens in episode two.
Yeah. See, the original show is more episodic. Like, you didn't have to watch the episode beforehand to get what was going on most of the time. But I mean, some of them had like two or three parters. I think the Phoenix Saga had like four episodes, but it's been a while since I've watched it, but I do like that. I do like how they pick up a little bit off of the original show, because at the end of, the original X-Men series, like, Xavier got sick and went off into the, you know, space to get healed and whatnot. And like, the cover story for this is like, you know, oh, Xavier died because of the Friends of Humanity, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
That opening fight though was really good. I thought, like, when they hit the warehouse and like Scott Summers shows like he actually can scrap.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool.
I found out the guy who voices Cyclops, Ray Chase. He's in another show I like.
Yeah, what show?
It's called Jujutsu Kaisen. It's an anime.
Cool.
He voices like one of the main villains.
Oh, see, I didn't know he did all the anime stuff. That's really cool.
He's good in that.
Any other things that stick out for you for the X-Men show from 97?
Not 97, but for like the original X-Men show, I don't like Morph.
You don't like the Morph? Original,
I think it's the laugh in the original X-Men. It's annoying.
Yeah, it was kind of, speaking of that thing, it's kind of funny too, because some people are like, man, Wolverine doesn't like Wolverine, like his voice sounds like a lot weaker. I'm like, bro is older now, like this voice actor is like, you know, not elderly, I mean he's middle aged, I guess, but like, you know, it's like it's been 20 years, like, you can't expect them to sound like they did in their 20s and 30s. What are we doing? I'm trying to remember something else about, like, I don't know, I feel like Roberto is just kind of thrown in there.
He's just there.
He's just there.
He has a cool power, but he's just there.
Yeah, I mean, I get he's fulfilling the Jubilee role in a sense, because, you know, she was like they kind of mirrored how, like, when she joined the group versus the way he did. It's kind of mirrored to that original episode, so, you know, I get it, but yeah, he's just kind of there. Morph. It's funny, Morph has a lot more to do in X-Men 97, because I don't remember him doing a whole lot in the original show.
I thought he died in like the first two episodes.
I think so, yeah. It's been a while since I watched, right? But like, because I binged it for a while. I got all the way up to like season three, and that was where I realized that was like the worst season, because like it went to a different production studio and all that. So like the quality of the animation wasn't as good. And like the storylines were just like, because like, you know, Fox kids were like, hey, can we make it not as dark as you kind of went? And they're like, I guess. But anyway, so let's move on. But actually, no, any closing thoughts on from X-Men 97?
I like the intro. Like
the original, like, they kept it.
Yeah, they kept it.
You like that? I like that too. I wish they would have done like for the first episode, the previously on X-Men. Yeah. They did that for the original series, but they didn't do that, because like I've been a cool nod if they would have did all that to lead up to, you know, this new series. And other things that stuck out. I mean, Storm storylines, you know, all right. It's actually a lot more mature than I thought it would be.
Yeah,
tone wise, story wise, like, if, I mean, it's still got some. It's not super kiddie. I mean, it's for kids. It's not like too graphic or anything. Yeah. But like, I mean, there's blood. But
not like
graphic. Graphic. But like, yeah, it's a more grounded, mature tone to it than what it would expect for a kid show.
Yeah,
and they actually like showcase death.
Yeah, the only technically graphic episode was 5. That I've watched, at least.
Yeah.
Because, like, Gambit dies and gets stabbed.
Yeah, and, like, the blood and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's about it.
I did like how in the last will and testament of Charles Xavier, that Magneto gets the house and all that and supposed to take charge of the X-Men.
Yeah.
How did you like that?
Yeah, I mean, it felt weird because it'd be like giving, you basically just gave a terrorist a bunch of superhumans,
right,
to use. But technically, he does just want to help mutants, and that was the whole point.
Yeah, that's the big moral dilemma. Like they, Xavier and Charles, or I say Xavier and Charles, Xavier and Magneto want the same thing.
But they just different ways.
Yeah, they go about it different methods, and yeah. Like it's cool that they kind of, you know, still maintain that they're, despite all of that and like their rivalry or like they're fighting, they're still friends, yeah. Quote unquote. I guess that was cool. That did add a wrinkle because yeah, they're like, oh, Jean and Scott are leaving, yeah. And Magneto's gonna take over the team, and Scott's like, I was gonna leave, but no, I'm not because I don't trust you.
Oh, and then Cable being in episode 5. That was something I didn't think Cable was gonna
show up.
Yeah,
I don't think he was. I don't think he was in the original series. I know Bishop was.
Yeah,
but I don't even know if he might have been around. Yeah, no, because yeah, Image was around at that time, and so like yeah, so Cable was in the comics, but yeah, he was in there. I know Deadpool makes like a. I remember Deadpool makes a cameo, I think, in the original series, but like as Morph transforms him, they don't name him by name, but you know, it's one of those little cool Easter eggs. So I think that's all we got for to say about that.
Oh, and my other favorite character for X-Men 97, I like Nightcrawler.
Nightcrawler? He's a good character. I love him. He's one of my favorites.
I like his power.
His power is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Definitely. Wolverine's always been a favorite, but I think that they're everybody's favorite per se. But like aside from him in the show, Jubilee is one of my favorites. Jubilee was one of my favorites from the original series.
Yeah.
And she's got a little less to do in X-Men 97. I know she's like hangs out with Roberto, so it's kind of like still like, oh, we were kind of like, I was in your shoes, so I get that relationship. That was fine. Yeah. As much as I didn't like the Rogue. Gambit, Magneto love triangle. There's too many damn love triangles in this show that I realize it now. And even then, like, I'm thinking about it, like, Wolverine didn't really address the Jean Rogue, not Jean Rogue, Jean Scott and Logan love triangle in the original too much, because I think he, you know, he had other thoughts, and they didn't really dive into that whole messiness of life and stuff, especially from the comics. But any particular scenes that that was a favorite, like fight wise or anything from you remember? Any favorite fights
besides episode 5? Probably either the opening scene from episode 1 or the Goblin Queen fight.
That was pretty good. Yeah, still I think episode 1, that first fight's my favorite. Especially just because like the way the animation was and the way Scott fought in that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about Dispatch. Dispatch is a video game series that was created.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Bye. I was supposed to have my notes up. This is top-notch.
Ad Hoc Studios.
Yes, Ad Hoc Studios in conjunction with Critical Role. It's developers from, they worked with Telltale at a certain point.
Yeah.
And, Night School Studios, they were working on Wolf Among Us and Wolf Among Us Part 2, but they left because they, you know, felt disrespected from the work for hire feel from the company. And they developed this game, again, along with Critical Role, the YouTube voiceover group. They do a lot of D&D and stuff like that, tabletop games, right? Yeah. You watch the channel, any? No. Yeah, see, I know of them, but I've never really watched any of their stuff on YouTube.
I haven't watched them, but I like the main guy, the main DM, Matt Mercer.
Yeah.
He's in a lot of stuff that I like.
I know Lauren Bailey's part of that group. I've kind of followed her in the past, but
most of the main characters except
Aaron Paul
are in Critical Role, I think.
Yeah.
And Golem. And the dude who voices Golem isn't in Critical Role.
Cool, cool.
There could be others that aren't in it.
But majority of the cast is from Critical Role. But yeah, and then without the direction for Telltale, Ad Hoc left the game development and worked on a game idea for a few months before scrapping it and returned back to Dispatch, because this was kind of the idea that I guess they were floated to them, but since they didn't take it, they took it for themselves. It was supposed to be a live action project instead of animated at first.
Yeah.
But then they scrapped it and decided to go with this, and I like that actually. It feels like an animated TV show.
Yeah,
because we were talking about it when I first started. But you got me onto this game.
Yeah,
because you were playing it, and I was like, "What is this?" And how do you feel about the gameplay?
It's good.
It's good. Yeah.
The hacking for me, it isn't hard. It's just boring.
Oh yeah.
Once you replay it a lot, it gets boring because you just know it.
Right, yeah, it's not good for multiple playthroughs, and I was going to talk about that for sure, because there's an element to that. All right, for those of you, I should get the premise out. For those of you who aren't familiar, Dispatch is about a ex-superhero who joins a company who sends out superheroes, and he's a dispatcher, so there's a call, he sends them out to it. It's very strategy-based. It's also narrative game, Life is Strange, Lost Records, that type of game. I got you on Lost Records, Bloom and Rage, because I played that, and that's a fun game. So it's in that kind of vein where, every choice matters to the story. And, it's animated. But it's animated like a TV show.
It's not like Life of Strange or Lost Records, because they have a
open world element to it.
Yeah, and they're like 3D kind of.
Yeah.
And this one's like 2D.
2D animation. Yeah, very like a cartoon. Like I said, I forgot sometimes that I was playing a game, which I was like, oh yeah, an option's coming up. I gotta do something.
One thing I realized is that the if you turn on interactive mode, I don't think the QuickTime events really matter. Same thing's going to happen either way, but it's just fun.
Yeah, it just
keeps you engaged.
Definitely. But yeah, the hacking element of it, because there's a hacking part of it. I hated it. I don't know if my fingers aren't just fast enough. I guess I'm old, and I just couldn't get it. Is there a favorite character you have amongst the group? Ooh, that's a tough one, huh?
Waterboy.
He's such a goof, right?
Yeah.
He's such a, he stutters, he stammers, he's not very confident, and it's just he, on paper, he's like, man, this guy is just ineffective.
And Sonar.
Possibly. And who?
Sonar.
Like Sonar? That. Oh, yeah. He's one of my favorites. I like Invisigal. I like her sassiness and just her aesthetic. Malevola? What's that other one?
Malevola.
Yeah, she's another one of my favorites. Punch-Up, is that his name? Right? Yeah. Punch-Up is a sleeper favorite of mine, just because of how comical he looks. He's got the old school circus strongman look, and he's just so short.
Yeah.
I
was gonna get the deluxe edition, which had all the comics and lore for the characters, but I didn't want to wait, so I just spent the money I had.
Yeah, it's not necessarily essential. It's a fun little add-on for sure. It definitely dives more into the world.
Yeah.
Gameplay wise, is there anything what's some of your favorites are, negatives about it?
I just don't like how it's not enough replayability, because once you figure out what heroes go where, it's just rinse and repeat, I guess. When you figure out, for the dispatching and all that, it gets boring, because once you figure it all out,
once you know a skill set, it's kind of
but then choices wise, you have like a few playthroughs before you get everything.
That's one of the drawbacks to narrative games in general, right?
Because like that you get like a few.
Yeah, because like you already know kind of what's gonna happen. So like, you know, like even when you make choices after the fact, like yeah, you get like two or three playthroughs out of it. Because essentially,
narrative games, like you can choose the story, but either way, it's gonna tie back to the same thing.
Yeah, it's gonna lead.
Like you're gonna get basically the same ending every time. With a bit of a different outcome.
Do you feel that do you feel narrative games in general are just surface level choices? Or does it take the fun out of it?
It's still fun, but if you play them a bunch, then yeah, it's gonna get boring. But they're fun. I do like them.
For sure, for sure. Narrative wise, I don't want to get too spoiled because this game came out a couple weeks ago.
November,
right?
Pretty sure this month. Demo came out in October, and then it came out.
October 22nd, 2025. Yeah. So like, fairly new game, but it is definitely fun. Like I won't be surprised if they don't take this and like make a spinoff television show.
They probably won't, but I think they are making a second season.
That I would be shocked if they don't. I don't know the sales per se, but I know
I think it made a million first few days. Million sales. They sold a million copies.
Sold over 2 million in less than a month.
Yeah.
So
it's pretty good.
Off of that alone, I feel that's probably enough to justify a season two. One,
it's like $40, so like
$40 easy, and like that, so that's another drawback to a lot of narrative games. Life is Strange is a big one for this. I feel
it's like $5 per episode, and Life is Strange 2, it's $8.
See, that's ridiculous, man. That's my one pet peeve about narrative games is like some of them will make you pay for each episode. It's like I bought the game, you shouldn't give me this.
I understand that the first episode's free for most times.
Yeah.
And, like, I get that. But, like, just charge me however much it would be.
Charge me a flat rate in general instead of...
Like, just, like... Okay, because, like, every episode of Life is Strange is $5, and there's five episodes or six episodes.
Yeah.
And, like, just charge me, like, $30.
Right. Up front.
Yeah.
Don't make me pay... Like, eventually, I guess, it evens out to that, but, like... Come on, I've got the game. Let me just like pay one price and just be done with it instead of having to. Oh, we gotta wait and pay for this episode. That's why I like Lost Records. That was fun. It's like, okay, cool. I don't have to pay to get the next episode. Yeah. I can just play it when it comes out.
The only thing for Dispatch was that I got it 2 weeks before the finale came out, so I had to wait 2 weeks every Wednesday for them to come out.
Yeah.
But I didn't have to pay for them, which I was happy about.
But I don't mind the delay, like in like staggering out the episodes, because it builds anticipation for what's coming next. And it also, you know, keeps people coming back.
Yeah. It was also felt like a TV show, like you were waiting for a TV show to come on.
Yeah. I almost wanted to nitpick Aaron Paul's performance a little bit, because I just felt he was kind of monotoned in some aspects.
I think that's the point for his character, but
right. But I mean, like I was thinking about it like that, and then I was like, oh, okay. I mean, it kind of fits. He's downtrodden in a sense, and
whenever I first played it, because you know who Moist Critical is?
No.
He's like a YouTuber who like talks about stuff that goes on in the world.
Okay. Yeah.
And he's in the game. He voices Sonar. The first time I played it, I thought he was good, but I didn't like it that much. But the more I played it, it gets better. Like, the more I played it, the more I got used to how he sounded in it.
Right.
And I started liking it more. And that's how it was for most of them, but...
Yeah, Lauren Bailey's pretty good. I liked her
Invisigal. I like her.
She definitely embodied the character. I know she's on a bunch of stuff, like The Legend of Vox Machina and The Last of Us. She's the voice of Abby, which,
She also voices that, in the tutorial, they have that that hero named Pom Pom. She voices her.
Oh, does she?
Yeah.
Oh,
I think. Pretty sure.
Yeah, that's cool. I didn't see that in IMDb credits. They threw me for a loop there on that one.
Maybe it is in Lauren Bailey. Maybe it's a different character, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, but I could be wrong, I could be right. But yeah, no, like a lot of names from there. Like I know Marisha Ray. She's been in a bunch of like YouTube stuff. I don't travel a whole lot through the nerds YouTube per se, but like I recognize that name. Aaron Paul, obviously, because he was on Breaking Bad. You're too young for Breaking Bad. Yeah. You haven't watched that yet. But let's see, another Jeffrey Wright. I'm pretty sure he's Commissioner Gordon in The Batman. If I'm not mistaken. Yeah, he's Lieutenant James Gordon.
Oh yeah,
he's but he plays Chase Star and I'm not gonna spoil it there. No. Yeah, no, well, Track Star.
They reveal in like episode one, so it doesn't really
matter. Well, I know Track Star, but none of the other one at the end.
Oh
yeah, I'm not spoiling that one, but yeah, he of course he was phenomenal. But I love his performance as Chase, too funny.
Yeah, I think I told you this already, but his son voices young Chase in the flashback.
Yeah,
at one point,
that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool too. Actually, no, Mayanna Barin, who voices Coop, also voices Pom-Pom.
Oh, Coop, okay.
Yeah.
I knew it was someone in the main group.
But I think it's also pretty cool how, like, a YouTube group, like, I know there are other voice actors, and, like, they do, like, you know, tabletop gameplay on Critical Role. Again, I've never watched, but, like,
yeah.
I think Joe Manganiello might have worked with them, too, or done stuff like that, or possibly. I mean, I could be misinterpreting. I didn't dive deep into it. Like I found this game over Thanksgiving because my nephew was playing it, obviously. So like that's how we started. Like this is why the episode's also late because it's Thanksgiving and like you know travel and holidays cheer.
It's a good game.
It's a good game. Like is there any like again? Is there anything like gameplay wise, story wise that you're like I don't necessarily agree or like this direction?
Probably have to think for a bit. But
I do feel like if there's going to be two romances, I feel like they didn't expand enough on one of them.
Yeah.
At least with the blonde blazer. Like you kind of get that in the beginning. Maybe it's probably based off choices too.
Yeah, I think it is. But
that you don't get more of those. But for me, in my playthrough, because I've only played it once. You've played it how many times so far?
I've technically played it like four, but I've technically only played through it once.
Played through it once.
So I played through the whole game once, but I've like restarted it. Three times.
Trying to get all the achievements.
Yeah.
Are you a trophy grabber? Are you trying to sometimes. To get all those? Depends on the game, right?
Because like a game like Red Dead Redemption 2, I'm not gonna go for.
That's a long game. Yeah. Yeah.
But then like, a game like God of War, I might.
Yeah. Speaking of that, like Cyberpunk, I think I pretty much got all the achievements or close to it. That game is over like. Like 80 hours, I think, something like that.
I also want to play that game.
Something crazy. Like, it's long. I think, but on my graph, because I ended up starting Phantom Liberty. Look at me, I can't speak. Phantom Liberty pretty early in the second half of the game, which I didn't want to. So I went back and, like, went to a previous save before I got into it.
Yeah.
So that made it end up turning out like, oh, you spent 118 hours playing this game. But for this stuff, like a narrative game, like it's easy to like clear all the achievements.
Yeah, because they're all story-based, so it's not that hard.
No.
There's like a few trophies that are luck-based. There's one where you have to complete a call with a less than 15% chance success rate.
Yeah.
And there's one where you have to fail a call with a 80% or higher success rate. And I got the 80% one.
Yeah.
So
my dispatching, I got to say, I just apparently don't know how to pick my people. I would send them out and I was like, all right, I think they got the strength for this. It's more of a fight. And then like, they just screw it up.
I didn't want to tell you this because I didn't want to because I wanted you to just play it through it. But like, whenever there's an X, if you go past that X, you fail automatically.
You fail automatically.
Like,
oh,
you weren't supposed to go fast with Coop. So if you had a bunch of people with mobility, they would it would fail
on a team.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And the refinery. Most of the things with the refinery, if you had too much strength, you would fail automatically. So.
Wow. Okay. See, I didn't know that part of it.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that.
There's also a pop-up that explained it, but I don't think you read
it. I guess I did. No, I did not catch that.
Yeah.
All right. So expound upon that. Expound. Oh, I can't speak. You think I would be able to do this professionally at this point. Expound upon that. Give me some more. Give me some more of that. So there's more. There's more of a strategy to it than what I initially thought. See, I just going off the base. Yeah. Like,
also, one thing I realized, whenever you sent people to hero training, you didn't like check the powers. You just clicked. You just clicked what you wanted to upgrade it, even if you didn't know what it was.
Yeah, I just kind of was like, okay, this person's weak overall. Let me send them.
Yeah, whenever their abilities also, because like for Prism, if you send like someone like Flambe, and then you send. If it's three slots or four slots and you send Flambe and then you send Prism, he can duplicate them and so you have two. So
yeah.
You don't need to send like a bunch of heroes. And then like in some cases you can just send Golem, because if you upgraded his ability right, whenever you send him, he sends clones of himself.
Yeah.
He breaks off a piece of him and can send clones to him.
So hang on here. Were you judging me my entire playthrough?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I was. I wanted to take the controller from you a bunch of times.
You were backseat playing. Homeboy was doing me dirt. He was side-eyeing me the whole time. I'm like, bro, really? Dude, this choice is obvious.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, especially if you're in the hacking parts.
Especially.
I had figured them out already, but.
Yeah, I was struggling on the hacking ones. Dude,
I love the thing. Like,
see, I was just flying by the seat of my pants, just like, all right, let's just give this a whirl. Like,
I don't know if this would be spoilers, but I forget what episode it is. When Vizzy's about to leave, maybe. That one. When she's in the playground. When Vizzy's in the playground.
Oh, okay. It's not really too much of a spoilery.
She
but
goes to the jewelry store and all that, and it says 99% of players help Vizzy. I thought that was because some people just didn't play that part, and I thought it counted all the people who like bought the game.
Yeah.
But I guess if you just don't succeed in the hacking part, then yeah.
Yeah,
you
see,
become the 1% that didn't help her.
Yeah.
Which I didn't see that. I've never seen anyone get that.
So that's the part I got then.
Yeah. You got the part where you didn't help her.
Yeah. So I didn't get that. I screwed up on the hacking ones. Like I said, my fingers are too slow. I just was. Yeah. There's a timer. I'm trying to get across a map.
I probably should have also told you this. There's a way to turn off the timer and the lives.
But yeah, that probably would have been helpful. Yeah. But I mean, for me, as just like playing blind, because I didn't know a whole lot about the game. And just going, you just showed me that I probably should have read a lot more than what I did. Because I was like, oh, okay, cool. This seems forward straight enough. But there is more strategy to sending out.
There is strategy to it.
So, you know, give me.
There's also synergy. If you like send certain heroes with each other.
Give an example.
Okay. If you send Flambe and Prism together, there's a higher. If you have like a 60% chance to succeed it. Because they have synergy together, it goes up to a 70%.
Oh.
And if you get max synergy, if it's like a 70%, it can go up to like an 85%.
So it all depends on who you match together, sense. So that's another strategy that
I can tell you who has synergy.
Huh?
If you want, I can tell you who has synergy next time you play it so you know.
Sure.
It doesn't activate until after episode 3, but...
Yeah.
Sonar and Malevola, Coop and Punch Up. And if you cut, and depending on who you cut, then
let's not give away that one.
We're not gonna say that, but like depending on who doesn't make the team and all that, Punch Up or Malevola will have synergy with someone else, and then
Golem
and Invisigal have synergy.
Have synergy together. See, I was just chucking people together at certain points. I think I got lucky with matching Sonar and Malevola together.
Yeah,
I think it was. I think I paired them a lot. Most part,
I don't think you maxed out. You didn't max out synergy with them, but you did send them.
I did. I did get a little decent bit of synergy between the two of them. I was sending out Sonar a lot. I thought he was going to be my standout for my team.
Yeah,
just because he was his success rate when I first started. And I was like, all right, this might be my guy.
Yeah, I can see like why people who picked who have Water Boy on their team. I can see why they would have a struggle. Why they would struggle because he starts with all threes and twos and a one maybe.
Dude, yeah,
I figured out how to use him.
See, you had the strategy now. See, he did me dirty.
Yeah.
The whole time. Maybe I just didn't choose. I mean, it's user error in a sense. I didn't choose the right missions to send him out on.
Yeah.
Because So I tried to, and it's funny, I tried to send him on like the most, I was like, surely you cannot screw this up. You're saving a cat, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
And he failed it. And I'm
just
like,
well, at the same time, that cat was also.
No. That's
well,
not,
I mean,
let's,
the same. Yeah,
let's not spoil that one.
Golem has like two things where he gets an instant win, where it's like with the baby.
There's a baby saving the I thought it was thing too. I was just half
the kaiju,
reading
the baby kaiju. He can adopt it.
Yeah,
doesn't come out.
But I think I actually ended up getting that.
Yeah,
that was funny.
And then he's good. Golem's good with animals, so I just sent him with a bunch of the animal ones.
Yeah. See, I didn't think. This is another thing. I just went off instinct. I didn't. I thought I strategized. I'll put strategy in quotations.
Yeah.
What's another? All right. So is there any key moments or not a key? Well, it's not story wise to expound upon, but is there another element that you were just like, really, that's your choice? Because that's the funniest part to me. That's great.
No.
No?
I don't think so.
You're a big-time gamer.
Yeah.
For sure. I play video games occasionally. I'm a filthy casual when it comes to gameplay.
I games like Marvel Rivals, I play those. I'm not good at them. I play them.
Yeah.
But like games like Ghost of Tsushima and Red Dead Redemption and Dispatch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm good at them.
Do you play a lot of RPGs, strategy based games?
Yeah, some.
Some.
Sometimes.
Because
okay.
I feel like you're very strategic in your.
Sometimes
in your
I'm not that good at them, but sometimes like Dispatch, I'm good at, but some RPGs I'm not that good at.
Yeah.
Like I don't think I'd be good at a game like City Skylines, where I have to build a working city.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd be good at that. But
have you played Skyrim or anything like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did.
How do you
my friend had it, but
how do you feel you did on it? Just out of curiosity.
I don't know. I didn't get that far into it.
You didn't get that far into it? Yeah. But with this, yeah. So you had it down to a science, and you're sitting there backseat playing for me. That's so funny.
Yeah.
I think at certain points the hacking I just gave up on. I was like, here, take this.
Yeah.
I am a very animated player when I play video games, especially when I'm frustrated.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I was the hacking ones. I was just like, oh God, I think, yeah, I know I had to like, I'll say I mildly rage quitted towards the end of the game. Cause I was like, oh man, the city's in peril. I'm just screwing up. I'm restarting.
I don't like restarting it because like, unless I'm early into it, I want to erase the 13 minutes I put into it.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to succeed, but like, yeah. And this one, my first playthrough, I did not succeed as well as my success rate was very low.
I also didn't think you'd get the same ending as me. I thought you would get a different one, but
yeah. See, that's another thing too. That's an interesting thing I've been reading about a little bit is like obvious choices or choices that I thought would be obvious that would lead to a good outcome.
They don't.
It doesn't. It didn't matter per se.
The choice, the choices do matter a little bit.
I mean, they matter, but like,
yeah,
like for example, in Lost Records, Bloom and Rage, like if you act a certain way towards a certain character, like your relationship gets more positive with them, right? And you get a better story outcome.
Yeah.
But in that line of thinking for this game, even the these favorable choices to this character didn't necessarily lead to a positive outcome.
Yeah, it was kind of makes sense because like you can't just do one nice thing to a character and then expect them to
even if you did the repeated ones. I was reading like for a certain character choice like with a relationship, it didn't come out the way that you would think because like the positive choices with that character that I made.
A lot of
it
people.
It didn't lead to a positive outcome.
Yeah, a lot of people thought it was a bug. Like a lot of people thought the game was glitch because a lot of people kept getting the same ending.
And
they thought that, and they didn't know why they were getting it because they were like really nice to them. But,
So that part's interesting to me because that kind of goes against the normal convention I think of narrative gaming. So it makes me want to go, it does make me want to go back and play and like try to tinker with like certain choices in like the front half of the game in order to get, you know, to see just to see if it'll actually change the outcome. Any other thoughts on the game itself?
That one scene in episode 5 whenever they're in the bar.
Uh-huh.
I like that part.
You like that part?
Yeah.
That's a fun,
part.
That's a fun part.
The transitions are cool.
Yeah, the cutting between what they're just hanging out and plus the action. That was really good. I love that. Yeah. I love that structurally.
And Prism.
Singing. Yeah. And
the line she says whenever she blinds the dude.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. She's one of the funnier characters in the game. I thought I was gonna have a lot of trouble with her, but she did all right with my playthrough.
Yeah.
We're definitely gonna have to discuss more strategy base on that my next one, but it is a fun game. I think you should check it out if you're into that narrative game. It's also, and I do love how it takes the convention of superhero and like I know like certain other, like The Boys, and I guess more or less Invincible kind of deal with like a corporate structure to like superheroes.
Yeah,
in a sense,
I saw people. Say, what if Robert and Cecil switched places?
Yeah. So I like that aspect of it. And I'm like, yeah, and theoretically in a world, superheroes would be corporatized in a sense. Because, like, yeah, how are they going to get to all these, like,
I feel
places
like,
for danger?
I feel like if superheroes were real, it'd either be everyone hates them or they would become businesses.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it'd be the middle of the road. I feel like you'd have like people like, you know, some people really appreciate
like a little bit of Incredibles and a little bit of like Dispatch.
Yeah. I mean, people would appreciate them like some people would really appreciate the military. Other people despise the military.
Yeah, it'd be like that probably.
It'd be kind of in that middle of that road, so to speak. But yeah, I do like that aspect of it. I also like how while, you know, I mean, it is the a lot of strong profanity-laced dialogue, adult content in that regard. They didn't go too overboard with like the, you know, gruesome action and stuff.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I like they kind of kept it a little more lighthearted in that aspect.
You only see like
I'm going to be honest. I'm kind of bored with the deconstruction of superhero and that sort of thing in like my superhero media. Like we get it, guys. The Watchmen was done in the 80s. We can move on from that. And like The Boys is great as a TV show. The comic book is horrendous. I'm sorry for anyone who enjoys the comic book. It's one of the cases where the adaption is better than the original.
Yeah.
I'll say on that one. But no, I like that aspect of it. Narrative wise, it's predictable after a certain, you know, you get through. I mean, all games realistically are predictable when you play them.
Yeah.
Repeatedly, but like there's still a lot more to do in other games and narrative based because like it's more kind of just like challenge really isn't there after you get the choices, but it's still fun. I still enjoy it. Like I said, I got lost in it. I just thought I was watching a TV show. I'm sure this will spin off into a TV show, possibly a movie.
Hope it doesn't. Just want to stay a game.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on how successful it is.
Because I don't know how they would turn it into a TV show.
I mean,
would they just make it where it was just like the same thing? But
well,
like,
no, I mean, you could follow a different team.
Oh yeah, I guess. I guess it could be like a TV show for downtown team, maybe.
Yeah, the downtown team for
because
sure.
We don't see them. We only see them in the tutorial, and they come up in the. They come up in the episode.
No, as this story, it'd be kind of boring to just, one to one.
Yeah, but it was like a TV show for downtown, maybe.
Yeah. That's more lines I was thinking of, like a different team. Yeah. You follow them maybe. And those characters. And, like, they could pop up and just be like, hey, you know, I exist type of thing, like cameo-wise.
Yeah.
But other than that, I'm sure there'll be a sequel, a season 2 for this. And I will play it.
Especially because there's, there's a lot of loose ends.
Definitely.
Especially. Depends on the ending. There's definitely loose ends.
I mean, either way.
And even, if you get one ending, there's, multiple loose ends. And if you get another,
there's definitely plenty of room to mine for a second season.
Yeah.
I mean, even with different villains, if not even necessarily, people within this game itself, there's still ways you could play around and tinker with the world, and Mecha Man Robert Robertson the Third's place
some people,
in it.
Some people said that they should get a different dispatcher for season two and make Robert a dispatchable hero in this mech suit.
That would definitely be fun for sure. But I think you'd still, but yeah, because if it's dispatch, you might.
Then again, the whole goal of the game is for him to get his suit back. So
right.
I mean, I guess if he was still a dispatcher after he got his suit back, I mean, I don't know if it would make sense.
Yeah, and that aspect would have to be a different.
But, I mean, maybe he just really liked the team, but I feel like he would just join them on dispatches. Like he would join Z Team.
Yeah,
and then someone else would dispatch.
Or you know, I'm sure like conventionally they'd probably have to injure him or something
probably,
like that in order to get
really,
him back.
Because, like, he's really strong.
Yeah.
And especially, without the mech suit, like...
He's got some...
Episode 1, he can shows that he can...
He displayed some competency when fighting.
And he has a bunch of scars, too.
Yeah, so, you know, yeah, he's been in some scrap. I didn't think about that, actually. I know I saw that. I was like, man, he's rough. But I was like, yeah, all right, how do you get all those scars within
like
the mech suit?
He has, like, a giant claw on his back. It's like a giant scratch mark on his back.
Yeah.
So
obviously he's done a little bit more of that, which, again, all right, so that doesn't...
Hey, that probably means that he got... That this... I feel like...
That he had... I mean, that's right. Now that I think about that, it seems like, all right, he's kind of had to have some fights outside of the suit. But then again, we did see him, like, sneak around before he popped into the mech in the first episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like he could be a superhero, but there's just not a whole lot of things he can do without the mech suit.
Yeah. I don't know if he's...
like, without the mech
suit, shows some intelligence, but I don't know if he's, like, Batman level.
Yeah, I don't think
intellect.
He could be like Batman, but I think he could be a superhero without the mech suit, but I don't think he'd be...
A little bit
good.
More strategic, but not as strategic as Batman, even though Batman doesn't exist in this world.
Yeah.
They
probably have a version of Batman somewhere.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, I like that. It's also funny, realizing it now, like, all the fun, cool names for superheroes are kind of taken by the big two. By Marvel
one.
And
they had one called
DC.
Oh yeah,
I'm just saying like cool names. Like when you got a new character, like mean, I do find it funny. Phenomaman.
Yeah,
is that his name right?
Yeah, Phenomaman.
Yeah, that's a funny ass name. I like that. I like his. He does harken back to the old Golden Age superhero though with the way he talks and stuff.
Yeah,
so
I
that
also
was that's
like,
cool.
I like in the tutorial he says subscriber and Phenomamal.
Yeah.
I think that's funny.
That is pretty funny element of it. But
and, I forgot what I was going to say. Never mind.
You've got your thoughts.
Yeah.
It wasn't that important, I guess, for the discussion. I get that. Brain farts. Happens to the best of us, champ. I think we don't want to get too spoily because, it's a new game, so you should go out and play it.
Yeah.
Especially if you're into narrative games and, like, superhero thing.
Yeah.
It's when I say it's more like a TV show, it definitely feels because like there's not. There's choices, but like for me in my game, in playing like a Life is Strange or a Lost Records, you don't get a whole lot of choices.
Yeah.
In between and throughout the game, like and so I feel kind of it does kind of feel more. It harkens back to like a Telltale, Batman style game.
Because I think that was because they did work.
Because you're basically more kind of watching than you are playing in a sense. Because there's not a whole lot of choice. There's not a whole lot of choices in that game with like in similar way to dispatches.
Yeah.
As opposed to like a Lost Records where like you have to be like focused and paying attention. Like there's rapid choices you got to make.
Yeah.
Instead of like dialogue choices. 3 minutes of dialogue, pick a choice, type of thing.
Yeah, it felt like, because for Lost Records, you actually like move the character, like you move Swan.
Yeah, it's more open world too, but like I'm just talking like choice wise, like dialogue.
Yeah. But like, yeah, it's like like
to drive the narrative forward.
For dispatch, it's a bunch of talking, and then you get a choice.
And this it's more strategy based.
Yeah.
For like, because you're dispatching and I'm.
And Lost Records, it's like, you're just story. Like, you don't have to do that much. You just walk around.
Well, I mean, you got to do, choice wise, though. Like, to traject the story is what I'm meaning.
For Lost Records, choices. You just pick a choice. And
there's
then
there's more frequency within choices within a conversation.
Yeah.
as opposed to this one where it's like one or two within like a minute or 2 minute span between back and forth dialogue.
Yeah.
To like drive the story forward. Yeah. Still a really fun game. Like I said, I like to see another season. If you had to give a rating for the game, what would you rate it out of 5?
Probably like a 4.5.
4.5 out of 5?
Yeah.
I'll give it the same score. I feel like it's in that aspect too. Yeah. It's about the choices, like I said. Aaron Paul, like I get, like I was kind of with how dry and like monotone he was, but I feel like, yeah, it's more character.
Yeah.
It's more of a character choice. So yeah, it wasn't like necessarily like he was phoning it in, because he does give a good performance, but I don't know. Sometimes I've just felt like, man, you gotta liven it up a little bit. Aaron, but then again,
Aaron Paul did say that he wants to do a second season, so
yeah,
I hope.
I'm sure he'll be back if they do a second season for sure. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they play off the, you know, where it goes next, and if you're still playing as Mecha Man,
probably not
in Dispatch. I mean, who's to say? Yeah. You know, like I said, they might sideline him. We're not getting too spoiler, I guess, but like, it's inevitable, right? The hero triumphs.
Yeah,
in some way, right? But yeah. So, with that being said, I think we are done. Mm. You can find the show at The Vegas World Pod on Instagram, Blue Sky, Twitter. You can find me at the JC Vega on all the social media platforms. Go to ProWrestlingTees.com. Get yourself a Vegas World t-shirt. Get yourself a JC Vega t-shirt. One says punk rock. The other says Rainbow Dash. Good night and party on.